Trinity of God. That's a good read. And actually, we went to this place in China to interview these Chinese who had been persecuted. And some had come from villages that were kind of cut off from the rest of the world. And so as Nick Ripken was talking to them, a question came up. And one of the questions was, are there Christians outside China? And when, because they were cut off, they did not know that there were Christians all over the world. And when Nick Ripken told them that, yes, there are Christians all over the world, they started weeping, clapping for hours because they're Christians. They thought they were all alone. And they asked him then, are there other Christians being persecuted like we are? Nick was sharing with him about Christians in Russia that were being persecuted and Christians in other parts of the world that were being persecuted. And finally, he said, it was getting late at night, he said, I've got to go to bed. And so they were meeting in a courtyard. And so the fellow who brought him there said, well, here's your room right here beside the courtyard. You just go in and you rest. He said about 6 o'clock the next morning, he woke up to the sound of what sounded like to him, hysterical crying and screaming. And he thought the authorities had actually come into the courtyard and was carrying some of them off. When he kind of came out of his room, the leader came to got him. He said, what's going on? What's going on? He said, I want you to listen to their prayers. He said, I can't speak Chinese. He said, just listen. Just listen. So as he began walking through these Christians who were praying, he picked up on Russia. He picked up on the other countries that he had mentioned. And he said they're determined that they're going to get up an hour early each day and pray for the persecuted Christians in these other countries. And that's what they were doing, is praying for these persecuted Christians. We can't even imagine, can we? We can't imagine the persecution problems that take place in the lives of Christians throughout the world. See, not only in this world, in this field, are there Christians planted, but also in this world there are non-Christians who are planted. And do you know who plants them? The devil plants them. And so their tares, in some translations it's tares, in some translations it's weeds. And so if you do a little research, you'll find that they're the weeds that were planted. And actually, this took place during Jesus' day. If somebody didn't like the farmer, he had put wheat in, then his enemy could come in and would come in oftentimes and plant this darnel in with it. And as they were growing up together, they looked like wheat, smelled like wheat, grew like wheat. You could not tell them apart except for when the fruit started to come on the stalk. And only then could you tell, oh, that's wheat and that's darnel. That's it. But by then, they're growing up together. And so you remember the servant said, well, what are we going to do about this? And Jesus, or the farmer, says, well, you can't pull it up because if you pull it up, you're going to pull up the wheat with the tares. One thing about this darnel is that it's very toxic. It's poison. It can cause convulsions and even death. And so it's very important that you don't eat darnel. It's very important that you don't get it mixed in with the wheat. And so what he said is at the end of the time, at the harvest time, what we're going to do, we're going to pull them up together. And when we pull them up, then we're going to separate them. And we're going to put the tares in a pile. And we're going to burn them because we don't want to have anyone get sick by eating darnel. And the wheat, what we're going to do, of course, we're going to use it to make life-giving bread from it. So, we've got Christians and non-Christians, and I'm going to use Christ followers and Satan followers. And the reason for this is because a lot of people get mixed up about what a Christian is today. Okay? So, did you know that in Hollywood that there are Christians and non-Christians growing together? I went online today because I thought, I just looked up Christian celebrities. And they said, so there was 19 Christian celebrities. And they had names like Chris Pratt, Carrie Underwood, Tom Hanks, Tim Tebow, Kathy Lee Gifford. But then I began reading their story, and there were 19 of them. Now, I'm not going to tell you which is which because I don't remember whose story is whose. But one said, and it wasn't one of these, it was somebody else. One said, you know what, I've read the Bible 3 times, and I've read the Quran once, and I've read the Torah once. Does that make you a Christian? Many of them said they attended church often. Does that make you a Christian? See, here's the thing. Jesus is saying that oftentimes Christians and non-Christians look a lot alike. Sometimes you can't tell the difference between them. They look so much, they speak Christianese. Read the Bible, they pray, they go to church. You know what? I did that for 22 years and I wasn't a Christian. They look a lot alike. But you really don't know the difference until the fruit comes on. You really don't know whether they're wheat, or whether it's darnel, until the fruit comes on. Did you know that there are Christians and non-Christians in our government? I believe Mike Pence is a Christian. I believe Sarah Huckabee, I don't know her right name now, I believe she's a Christian. But in our government agencies, well, let me just say this. I think throughout all segments of society, non-Christians outnumber the Christians. There are those, even in our government, who desire to hold the standard of God that he set from the beginning. That's their desire. They want to protect unborn children. They want to keep the marriage between man and woman. They want to bless Israel and not curse her. And God has pronounced a blessing upon those who bless Israel. Okay? Now, however, there are others who want to change the standard. They want to twist God's word to fit their lifestyle. And they really don't care what God has stated in His Word. They do whatever is reasonable to them and feels right. They have embraced the idea that we are not answerable to God. And they are very vocal about what they believe. Let me just say this. I don't know if you're a Republican or Democrat or what you are, but you're going to find these people on both sides of the fence. Okay? So this is not a political thing. You're going to find tares on both sides of the fence, and you're going to find wheat on both sides of the fence. I'm not trying to get political in regards to how you vote, but what I am saying is that whenever you do vote, you need to vote for somebody who honors what God honors and upholds what He upholds. Because you're going to have these individuals, both Christian and non-Christians, on both sides of the fence. Did you know that Jesus followers and Satan followers are in the sports arena? Did you know that Jesus followers, Satan followers, are even in the church? Jesus plants His. Satan plants His. There are those who believe that we get the vote on whether or not to honor God's Word. We don't like it, so let's vote and go. Is that the way we do it? We don't like what God says, so we'll vote and do it our own way. Is that God's seed? Or that's Satan's seed? Satan's seed. We don't get to vote on whether or not we're going to. So when you get to heaven and you vote against it, what are you going to tell God? Oh, I didn't like it, so I voted against it. Good luck with that. The decisions that are being made in our state, in our nation, and in our world tend to favor those who have no moral base. And the nutrients meant for the Christians, things that God has blessed this nation with because of the godly heritage, are being absorbed oftentimes by many who are not God's children, and they try to suffocate the Christians from speaking out. Here's another problem. Oftentimes, life is being sucked out of Christians because they begin to bend and bow to the will of the people rather than standing up for the things of God. The poison affects Christians as well. So there's a new generation that's growing fast and who are embracing the codes of this new age. They are embracing the mores of this new society rather than the morals of past generations. Have you heard, I'm sure you've heard the analogy of the frog in the kettle? If you haven't, I'm going to tell it to you. So I'm told, I've never done this, but I'm told that if you put a frog in a kettle and start turning the heat up little by little by little, that it will just cook itself. It will just cook. It won't jump out. If you put it in hot water, it'll jump out. But if you turn the heat up slowly, then it'll just cook to death. Are you going to try that at home, Dylan? No. And that's what often happens to us as a culture, is that the heat gets turned up little by little by little by little, and we don't see a problem until it's too late. Jesus is saying that the poison and the wheat are growing up together. And oftentimes what we want to do is just root it out. Right? Well, Jesus said that's not what you're supposed to do. What are you supposed to do? So what do you do about poison weeds? What do you do about people who are non-Christians who have an agenda that is trying to take you in the way that they're going? What do you do? Okay, number one. We're to watch and pray. He said, I urge you first of all to pray for most people. Is that what it says? Pray for who? Ask God to do what? To intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Wow, I wish he had a different answer. Sometimes that's the last thing I want to do. If you've got problem people in your life, this is what he says to do. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Ask God to help them. Make requests on their behalf. And what do they need more than anything? Jesus. And so we're praying that they find Jesus. Okay? Oh, and listen, pray this way for kings, presidents, and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior. Praying for them is good and pleases God, our Savior. Okay? What else should we do? The second thing we should do is to bring as many people as we can into the kingdom and teach them Jesus' way. Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Pray for them. Share Christ with them. They're not going to hear. Well, that's not your responsibility. You don't have responsibility of whether they hear or not. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is pray for them and share Christ with them. By the way, we're going to have an awesome Easter presentation. And we're going to have, we are actually already have it made up. Sandra has made us up some invitation cards, 500. So that we can hand them to our friends and family and enemies, whoever we come in contact with, and invite them to our Easter production. It's going to be on Saturday night, and then again on Sunday. Okay, so we're hoping that we'll have to do it Sunday night too, because we have to turn people away. So, and if we have those already made up, but it's a little early to get them out yet. But as we get closer to about mid-March, that will be in your hands, and we can begin to sow seed, bring them into the kingdom. And isn't it a marvelous thing that God can change tares and darnel into wheat? He changed me. He changed me. Our fight is not against them. That's not our fight. Scripture says our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So our fight is against the things that keep them in bondage, that keep them blinded, that keep them from hearing. So that's what our fight is against. Our fight is not, it's not against us and them. It's against the principalities that hold them in bondage. The third thing that we can do is that we're to encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Listen, you're going to leave out of here today. You're going to go to work tomorrow. You're going to be rubbing elbows with non-Christians. That's life. Jesus said that's the way it was going to be. But your attitude toward them is going to make a whole lot more difference if it's in love. It says, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. So when is today not called today? Never. So whenever today is called today, then encourage one another daily. Because if we don't, some may be poisoned by the world. So do you know someone that you can encourage who is perhaps slipping? Encourage one another. The third thing, and the last thing is, let God judge. Billy Graham said, my job, God's job is to judge, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict, and my job is to love. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If we can let God do His job and the Holy Spirit do His job and we just do our job, did you know that God can do a whole lot better job with His job than you can? And did you know that the Holy Spirit can do a whole lot better job with His job than you can? Tom shared at the beginning, share the truth in love. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Love and truth. Love and truth. Love and truth. How many of you really get upset about the things going on in our nation? Phew. Yeah, I don't watch the news. I don't watch the news much. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. Share share, 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 share. And let God do His thing. Let God do His thing. So I want to ask you a question in closing. A few, actually. Are you a wheat or a tare? You can tell by what kind of fruit you're producing. Are you encouraging people toward God or away from God? Are your words and actions proof that you are a child of God? So what are you doing to keep the influences of the enemy from draining your life? What are you doing to get stronger in your relationship with Christ? What are you doing? We have to be active. We have to be active in getting our heart daily, building our spiritual muscles daily. If we don't, we atrophy pretty quickly. Pretty quickly. And so I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, get really connected to the Lord. In so much that when you see something that disturbs you, rather than getting upset, start praying about it. Okay? I would venture to say, and I think I'm right in this, that getting upset is not going to help the issue. However, praying about it can bring God's divine power upon that situation. So when you see something that disturbs you, pray for that person. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Because here's what happens. Oftentimes we get upset and then we start poisoning not only ourselves but others around us. Okay? I have an invitation. I don't know how God has spoken to you this morning. If you have never received Christ as your Savior, then I would encourage you today, put away the poison, put away the old lifestyle, and bring and get your life from Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's the only one who can give life. No one else can. If you're weak, you need prayer, you need people to come around you, pray for you, allow us to do that for you. Okay? We need to encourage one another. We need to build each other up. Okay. So this is a time of invitation. We're going to ask the musicians to come up here. We're going to pray. But as they play, maybe you're one that needs encouragement and you want to go to someone and say, man, would you just pray for me? Allow them to pray for you. Okay? If you want me to pray for you, I'll pray for you. But we've got a wonderful group of people here in this church who can pray just as great or better than I can. Father, I come before you. I thank you for today and I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you've shared these secrets with us. Lord, we didn't even get to the separation and that part. Lord, I pray that you would work upon our heart and our lives so that we may be able to be a influence, Christian influence, to the world around us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. Help us to be strong in you. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together.